Hey guys, so we're just going to continue on with Cat Patrick Forgotten, and we left on chapter 27. "You're sure she's not home?" Luke whispers, as he eyes the front of my house from the driver's seat of his van. "Yes, I'm sure," I reply at a normal volume. "Why are you whispering?" "I don't know," Luke whispers. He looks at me and flashes a huge, cheesy grin, turns back to the house and says, "I feel like she can hear me." "She's not home," I yell to prove the point. "Where is she?" he asks. "She's at a movie," I answer flatly. Suddenly, I'm nervous. Luke and I have been dating for several months. Does he expect something? Do I? Knowing that I could obsess to death about this, I decide to go for it and leap out of the van. Before I slam the door behind me, I turn to Luke and ask, "Are you coming or what? I need a grilled cheese." He laughs and kills the engine, then follows my lead. We're inside the warm entryway in no time, removing our jackets and shoes. I can't help but wonder what would happen if I just kept going, removing my dress. She left all the lights on. "Are you sure she's not coming back soon?" "Luke, what are you so afraid of?" I playfully shout at him. He's looking back towards the living room to make sure that my mama isn't there. "Sorry, I know I'm being crazy. I just doubt your mom would want us here alone together this late at night." "Okay, first of all, are you from the 50s or something? And second of all, it's not that late. It's only..." I glance at the ornate wall clock mounted over the piano in the adjacent room. "It's not even 9 o'clock. My curfew is midnight. And third of all, even if she doesn't want us here alone, she'll never know. She's at a movie." "What time will it be over?" Luke asks. 10:30. "Fine, I'm leaving before 10:30. "Fine," I say, grinning. "Fine," Luke says gently. He's standing over me now, finally calm, rolling up the sleeves of his untucked white dress shirt. The look of him makes me catch my breath. I take a step forward, so our faces are just inches away. Before I think too much about what I'm doing, I stretch up on tiptoe, take Luke's face in my hands, and plant a firm kiss on his soft lips. He doesn't pull away. Instead, he leans towards me, low enough that I don't have to stay on my toes. He wraps his arms tightly around my waist, and I feel his strong palms press into my lower back. My hands move to the back of his neck. I lose track of time and place and just let go and enjoy the increasingly heated kisses. My heart races, and the thought of shedding clothes comes to mind again. I lean into Luke and lip lock. The two of us stumble backwards until his back thuds into the closed front door. I smash against his chest and it feels like warm marble. He moves his hands into my hair and I breathe heavier as I keep kissing him. The 5 phones connected to the landline scream in unison and scare Luke and me apart as if we've been caught by some chastity alarm. Realizing the source and feeling silly both for being startled and for the hormone surge, I nervously laugh and he joins in. I take 2 steps backwards, trip over my shoes, and fall to the floor, which sends me into hysterics. Unable to breathe, I roll into a ball of embarrassment, and Luke joins me on the floor, sitting at first, then lying and staring at the ceiling. The phones finally stop ringing. I manage to compose myself. "I love your laugh," he says, once I've calmed down. "Thanks, I love to laugh," I reply. "I know, that's one of my favorite things about you. Remember how crazy you were on our first date? It was cute." "Good to know," I think to myself. "Tell me more," I say, as perfectly comfortable in the Persian rug as I'd be lying on a couch or a bed. We are head to head with our bodies at angles. If someone observed us from overhead, they'd see AV. "You want to know the reasons why I love you?" he asks casually, as if he said those words to me before. But if I'm remembering my notes correctly, this is the first time. My heart is threatening to break free from my chest, but I present a calm exterior. "Yes, a list if you will." He lets out a quiet chuckle. There are too many reasons to have a complete list, but I'll name a few. Please go on, I say, attempting to remain steady when I feel like bouncing. I hold my breath. Well, there's the obvious. You're beautiful. Yes, obviously, I reply flatly, masking the fact that my stomach just did cartwheels. I love your hair. This sounds crazy, but when I first saw you in that ridiculous outfit, with your long red hair flying out all over the place, I just wanted to touch it. It's soft, and it always smells good. In fact, hold on. Luke leans over and buries his nose in my hair. He takes a deep breath, then returns to his back. Ah, the best, he mutters. You are a total weirdo, I joke. He ignores me. Let's see what else. I love you because you're the type of person to befriend a new guy on his first day of school. Oh, and speaking of friends, I love that you haven't given up on Jamie, even though she's mad at you and not being very cool. She's worth it, I say in her defense. Yeah, that's what I mean. You're not into cliques and all that crap. You're mature. Right, what did you say about laughing fits? Well, yes, there are those. Most of the time you're mature. Luke pokes me in the ribs and grins before facing the ceiling once again. What else? I prompt him. This is fun. Let's see, Luke says, folding his left forearm behind his head. He looks to the wall where his painting leans. I like that you don't think it's strange that I like to paint ears. I do a little. But I like strange. I say, what else? I don't know, London, he says, rolling to his side to face me and propping his head on his hand. I think it's just the whole package. I can't pick you apart. I just love all of you. I think I always have. I wonder what he means by always, and he brushes my face with his hand, and we are quiet for a moment. It doesn't sit quite right, but not wanting to ruin the moment, I say, I love all of you, too. The words are weighty, but I mean them, and I think Luke does, too, and strangely for their heaviness, I feel light. This feels easy. We lie here, Luke and I, inhaling each other's breath and listening to the tick-tock of the clock, when a very unpleasant gargling growl erupts from the depths of me. Was that your stomach? Luke asks, looking down at my abdomen. Yes, I blurt out, before launching into a fresh wave of delirium. I told you I was hungry, I managed to say between gasps for breath. He shakes his head at me and then slowly stands up. The sight of him towering above me in all his gorgeousness steals my giggles. Let's get you a grilled cheese, he says, offering me his hands. Finally, I say back, allowing him to pull me from the floor. Once I'm standing, I shiver. The cold from the towel beneath the rug made it through me. Cold, he asks. Yep, I'm going to grab a t-shirt and a sweatshirt. You make yourself comfortable in the kitchen. I run up the stairs and search for my bedroom for something fuzzy and warm, nothing in plain view. I hit the closet light and start pulling folded items from the shelf. I evaluate my options and settle on a tan hoodie that I know from my notes is Luke's. Checking my reflection in the mirror, I decide to take the extra minute to pull my hair back into a ponytail. As I wrap the hair tie once, twice, and three times, my eyes scan the room, seeing it as Luke might. If I let him come up here tonight. The bed is beautifully made. Mom must have tidied up after we left for the dance. The throw pillows are lined up just so. There's a photo of Luke and me in a wooden, dark frame on the desk. I don't remember when it was taken. In the corner, the hamper is empty. On the nightstand are the lamp and an empty coaster where I used tea mugs set earlier. My mom really must have cleaned. Wait. For a blink, I look back to the nightstand in the mirror, then I turn around the stool to see it firsthand. It looks so bare. Because it is. Because it is. My pulse quickens as I quiz myself. Where are my notes? Did Mom move them? Did she put them away? No, she wouldn't have. Or was she? I stand and rush across the room. I check the nightstand drawer and the desk drawers too. I chew my index fingernail, thinking. I turn slowly around the room, scanning every surface. Did I take them somewhere? Where would I take them? Where did I have them last? My breath sucks in almost before I fully realize what's happened. I know where my notes are. They're right where I left them, right where I was reading them before Luke picked me up tonight. Right where I sent Luke to hang out. They're in the kitchen. Luke, I shout, running out of my bedroom and down the stairs, as if it would make any difference. Luke, I shout again in vain. I know even before I'm down the stairs that he's already seen them. No answer comes from the direction of the kitchen. I quicken my pace and nearly slip on the polished hardwood while rounding the corner to the kitchen. Luke, I say again to his back. He faces the table and doesn't speak. Luke, I try a gazillionth time. He turns, holding a single letter in his hands. I stand frozen, staring at him. Finally, he speaks. I wondered how you did it, he says. Still frozen, I'm confused. Did what? I ask. How you remembered me this time, he says. I mean, I've caught you a few times forgetting things, but most of the time you seem normal. You seem to recognize me each day. My furrowed eyebrows rise, my eyes wide with the shocking confirmation that he knows. Luke knows. For a moment, it's almost a relief. I don't have to work so hard. I don't have to... Wait, Luke knows? Then I realize for 4 months now, the boy before me has been lying to me. He's as bad as my mother. Is there anyone in my life who isn't deceiving me? The relief is gone. The anger is here. My shoulders fall, my arms draw close, as if to protect myself from the world. Blood rushes to my face and my ears pound. My heart races. I find it difficult to speak, but finally I'm able. You knew? I ask, boiling. Yes, London, I knew, he says, smiling hesitantly, as if he doesn't know whether he should. The smile sends me over the edge, my hands tied into fists, and I feel the archer scream at the top of my lungs. For how long? I hiss, putting a hand on the counter to steady myself. I think of the cards from my father, the betrayal from my mother, and now this. Since we were 11, Luke says matter-of-factly, fueling the fire that's already raging in my veins. Luke, what the hell are you talking about? I shout. I stare at him, feeling wronged. I want him to leave, but I want him to explain first. Okay, he begins. Do you remember? He sweeps his hand over the pile of papers. Do you remember mentioning that I spent a few summers with my aunt and uncle? Glad that I took the time to study my notes today, I mutter. Yes. And do you also remember that you went to day camp at the YMCA when you were younger? No. Well, you did, and so did I. My aunt and uncle live here in London, or at least my aunt does. They're going through a divorce. One of the reasons we moved here was so that my mom could be closer to her sister. I exhale loudly. I'm still gripping the counter with one hand. The fingernails on the other are about to draw blood from my palm. Jaw clenched, I imagine myself biting through my own molars. Luke reads my body language and gets the hint. All that besides the point, he says. The point is that we went to the same camp for a summer. We were friends. You were my only friend, and I'm pretty sure I was your only friend back then, too. Luke pauses to make sure that the information is settling in. I stare sharply at him, and he takes my silence as a cue to go on. None of the other kids gave me the time of day, because I didn't live here, and of course there was the dodgeball incident. I raise my eyebrows slightly while speaking a word. I'm livid, but also curious. Luke shrugs like it was no big deal. We were all playing dodgeball, and one of the bigger kids purposely hurled the ball at my face when the counselor wasn't looking. My nose broke, but I have a high tolerance for pain, so So I picked a fight with a kid and smiled as he pummeled me. I thought it'd make me look cool. Instead, everyone thought I was a freak. Everyone except you. I rolled my eyes at the compliment. I'm not giving in that easily. I noticed you the first day of camp. I watched you running alone in the corner, keeping to yourself. I wanted to talk to you, but I was chicken. And I seriously wanted to touch your hair back then, too. I was kidding about that earlier. Remembering our conversation on the rug, I experienced a different kind of heat for an instant. Then I remembered that, just like my mother, my boyfriend is a liar. And to interrupt this, my stomach decides to growl. So if you hear anything, I apologize. Back to the story. I cross my arms over my chest and Luke anxiously clears his throat. I think he knows he's about to get kicked out, so he races through the rest of the story. Anyway, you came up to me after the fight and helped me. You gave me your sweater to stop the bleeding. It was totally ruined. I thought it was poetic irony to give you my sweatshirt that day, outside the gym. He says as an aside, gesturing to the hoodie I'm wearing. But of course, you didn't get that, he adds. I can't help it, I shout. I know, Luke says. I didn't mean it like that. He shifts and I check the clock. I hope with all my might that my mother doesn't come home and interrupt our conversation. It's almost 10, Luke says. I can tell the time, I fire back at him. Do you want me to leave? Yes, I say harshly, but finish first. Okay, well anyway, at camp, the day after the fight, I came up to you and said hello, and you didn't remember who I was. At first, I was hurt. I thought you were pretending not to know me. Like you were too cool or something. But you were nice and chatty, so I thought you had amnesia or something. I asked you if there was something wrong with your brain. You said no. Is there something wrong with yours? One corner of Luke's mouth turns up a little as he remembers the exchange. He waits a bit. And then continues. Anyway, I kept asking in different ways and finally you pulled me into a corner and told me that you had a big secret. That you remembered the future but not the past. You made me swear not to tell anyone, and I never did. So anyway, every day we met each other again. We had a lot of the same conversations over and over, but we had a lot of new ones too. Sometimes we sit in the bottom of one of those climbing things that look like Swiss cheese and try to figure out who the kids were by the shoes they had on. It was really fun. You were good at that game. I'm taken back by the realization that the foot game I'll play forever came from my childhood relationship with Luke. I'm curious about that, but I hold back. Anger is easier right now. Luke smiling wistfully, which makes me even madder. I roll my eyes and let out my breath, and he gets it. Nostalgia wiped clean from his face, he goes on. When I moved here, I thought maybe you'd remember me. But then, especially that night we fell asleep in the van, I knew for sure. There's a little tug on my heart when I hear the sadness in his voice, but I hold my ground. Is that it? London, I'm really sorry for not telling you sooner, he says, taking two slow steps towards me, like he's approaching a wild animal. Instinctively, I edge backwards, away from the guy I couldn't get close enough 2 minutes ago. You mean you're sorry for lying, I say harshly, for betraying me, for taking advantage of my situation. That's a little extreme, Luke says with a small laugh. I mean, you've pretty much been lying to me, if you think about it. He almost smirks now, which sends me into a tailspin. It's not the same, I shout at him. You have no idea how it feels like to completely forget every single day. I wake up not knowing what I wore to school the day before, let alone what stupid things I may have said or done. I remember things that no one should have to anticipate experiencing. Horrible things. Things are going to happen to me. Tears are streaming down my face now. Luke takes another step towards me and I put up a hand to stop him. I keep ranting through the sobs. I've got enough going on and now this. My best friend has gone off the deep end, my mom is lying to me, and apparently you've been lying too. Something hits me and I interrupt myself. Wait, if I knew you, why didn't my mom tell me that when she met you again? Or was that just another one of her lies? Were you in this together? Luke looks down and away, his cheeks flush. I never met her in person and she wouldn't know my name because I went by something else back then.
What?
I ask, curious despite my anger. LJ, Luke says sheepishly. I thought I was tough and that old tough guys went by their initials. He takes another step. Stop, I command, finding no amusement in Luke's childish confession. Whatever your name is or was, the point is that you lied. You could have pieced together some of my past for me. You could have actually helped me, Luke. Can't you see that? But you didn't. You willingly deceived me. I can't believe you do this to me, to someone you supposedly love, to someone who thought she loved you. Luke's face falls and he's silent for a few seconds. Then he brushes away two tears that escape his blue eyes. He looks helpless, and part of me wants to hug him. Instead, when I can control myself enough to speak again, I say I was choking. Just go. London, I'm so sorry. I didn't think it would upset you this much. I wasn't trying to. His voice fades and his head hangs for a moment. Then he looks up at me and our eyes hold steady. I just didn't want you to feel like you had to feel self-conscious around me. I shake my head and back out the kitchen doorway so that he can leave. His shoulders are slumped as he walks past by me on the way to the foyer. From the kitchen, I hear him put on his shoes and then open and quietly close the front door behind him. I hear the van start and rev. When its gentle hum fades into the night, I crumble to the kitchen floor and fall apart. Despite it being after midnight, my hushed ringtone sounds from beneath the pillow for the third time in an hour. There are voicemails waiting to be deleted once I can touch my phone without accidentally answering his call. It's amazing how much stuff one can accumulate after dating someone for only 4 months. A mini mountain of notes and photos are piled high in the fancy hatbox from my closet. The hatbox is meant for mementos. Instead, it will be a time capsule never intended to see the light of day. Girls the world over will be envious of my ability to dole out the perfect helping of revenge to the boy who wronged me. Done crying now, I summon the ability that I and I alone seem to possess and channel what surely would be Jamie's sound advice were she here to give it. Forget him, she said. Good plan, I say aloud. Sweeping away the sweetness and focusing on the bad, I smash the hatbox pile to make room for the last few items. Before closing the lid, I add the note scratched in barely dry ink, explaining what he did to deserve his fate should I uncover the box in the future. The note from my mom is on the kitchen table, the one that summarizes the breakup and instructs her never to speak of Luke again. The job is almost complete. I delete the voicemails without listening to them and erase his number from my cell. When I am positive that my mom is out cold, I sneak to the basement to hide my failed relationship among old kitchen appliances, boxes of notes from years gone by, and worn toys littering the junk closet beneath the stairs. I don't linger to consider the ramifications of erasing Luke from my thoughts. Instead, I switch off the basement lights, hurry back up the stairs, and scoop beneath, deep on the covers. I think of Luke until I fall asleep. Sleep comes too quickly. Tonight. Chapter 28. A hand grips my left elbow just as I'm getting ready to retrieve my anatomy book from the depths of my locker. The note said I didn't finish my homework this weekend, so I need to do it in study hall. I wince at the elbow grip, not because it's rough, but because my arm still hurts from when I managed to fall on it during first period PE, playing volleyball, of all things. You don't even move that much in volleyball, yet I dislodged a tiny piece of my elbow bone. At least that's what it feels like. It's probably just another bruise. Ouch, I say, spinning to face the grabber. I don't know who I was expecting, but it surely wasn't him. The gorgeous boy drops his grip on my arm and recoils like he's been burned. In his perfect blue eyes, I see confusion, anger, hurt, and even a touch of pleading. I don't recognize him, but I wish I did. I didn't mean to hurt you, he says softly. His voice is smooth and oddly relaxing. Oh no, it's not your fault, I say, rubbing my elbow. I fell on it in gym class. I'm a bit of a klutz. The boy smiles a sad smile then, and a hint of a dimple appears on his right cheek. My stomach flips over and suddenly I'm very aware of myself. I shift awkwardly from one foot to the other. Realizing that I'm staring, I break my gaze and turn back to my locker to get the book I was after in the first place. Can I help you with something? I ask, still facing the locker in an effort to appear nonchalant. I need to talk to you, the boy says quietly. I stuff the book, a notepad, and a spare pen from the top shelf into the oversized gray and white striped shoulder bag I found in the hall closet this morning, and slam the locker door shut. The hall is crowded now, and the girl with the locker next to mine exhales loudly. She tries to get to her own belongings. The boy is blocking her way. Oh, sorry, he says to her when he realizes his blunder. Whatever, she shoves her way past him. The boy has moved to block my way now, and I begin to rethink my desire to remember him. There's a slightly creepy sense of urgency about him. Are you okay? I ask, wondering whether there's something wrong with him. Is this kid going to freak out on me? Is that why I don't remember him? Gripping my bag like a security blanket, I take a step to the right to try to move around him. But he anticipates my move and blocks me again. He bends slightly and looks directly into my eyes before speaking. No, London, I'm not okay. We have one fight and that's it. You won't return my calls. You weren't home yesterday when I came by. We need to talk about this. When he finishes, he straightens slightly but doesn't stop with eye contact. I don't know what to do, so I opt for honesty. I'm really sorry, but I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't even know you. I smile weakly as if to console a friend. It's like a light bulb turns on in the boy's head. He stands completely straight and his eyes narrow. He shakes his head and then looks at me with even more venom. Real mature, London. Thanks a lot. The boy hisses. He turns and strides down the main hall in the direction I need to go. The girl with the locker next to mine giggles as she passes. She's heard the whole conversation. I'll take him if you don't want him. I wait until there's no sign of the boy before I weave my way to study hall. As I move, I review what happened and end up just as confused. I open the massive library doors and walk through the metal detectors, happy to have one whole class period to ponder the situation. And, oh yeah, do my anatomy homework. But then as I approach the bank of tables reserved for study hall, I realize my bad fortune. The brooding boy sits alone at the only table with any free seats. Of course he does. Surprisingly, the gorgeous freak is otherwise engaged all period long, so I manage to finish my homework with time to spare. Even so, I can't help but notice the huffs and snorts coming from the boy as he writes furiously in his notebook. Angry much? Now as I sit packed and ready to leave, the moment the bell rings in 44, 43, 42 seconds. The boy is still writing. I can't help but watch the muscles on his toned left forearm flex as he moves the pen across the page. His worn t-shirt looks baby soft and hangs perfectly across his shoulders and chest. I find myself wanting to touch the wavy lock of hair that peeks out from behind his right ear. What? The boy snaps as he looks right at me. Several other clock-watching students turn in my direction. Nothing, I whisper, looking back to the industrial wall mounted clock that tells me I'll be free from this uncomfortable situation in 20... 19, 18 seconds. I hear the boy rip the pages he's been working on from his notebook, which strikes me as odd, since I think he'd want to keep them safe until class. Finally, the bell rings and stands so quickly to leave that I practically knock my chair back. Wait, he says in a softer tone. Instead of running, I turn to face him. "Please read this," he says, offering me what I realize is now a letter. It's folded in half, with my name written on the outside. "Okay," I say as he brushes past me, leaving me confused and alone in a barren library, with a warm and oddly familiar scent lingering behind him. I skip the trip to my locker before math, opting instead to arrive early and see what on earth this boy could be so mad at me about. Minutes later, I realize that being early was a good choice. Dear London, first off, let me just say that I love you. Keep that in mind as you read on. My name is Luke Henry, and I've been your boyfriend since I started at Meridian in October. You don't remember me in your future for some reason. We haven't sorted out yet, but I'd like the chance to find out why. You're really mad at me right now, and rightly so. I never told you that we'd met, but we had. When we were younger, we went to camp together. I was fascinated by you and how every day you befriend me again, even though you didn't remember me from the day before. You were my first real crush, and now you're my first real love. After the winter formal on Saturday night, I found the notes that you used to remember me, and I told you the truth. You were right when you said that I've been lying to you for all this time. I'm so sorry, London. And all I want is a chance to redeem myself. I have no idea why I did it. Maybe I thought you'd think I was a stalker. Maybe I just wanted to see if you'd ever wake up and know who I was. You didn't. But London, we're good together. I don't want to lose you. I've made a huge mistake, but I hope that you can consider forgiving me. Because like I said in the beginning, I love you, London Lane. Always, Luke. After school, a floral hat box sits before me with its inwards exposed. Luke's apology letter in one hand and a photo of a happy couple in the other. I feel like my innards are exposed too. My mom didn't seem surprised when I looked at the box and when I asked her about him. She led me right to the hat box with a look that bordered on patronizing. "Well, that didn't take long," she said. "It's not over yet," I replied, grabbing the hat box and taking refuge in my room. Now in a word, I'm thrown. I started at the beginning, and after reading about the first few times Luke and I spoke, I was ready to dial his number and accept his apology right there and then. But then I read on, with his betrayal in mind, every seemingly pleasant moment filtered through the new lens of lies became darker and dirtier. He was keeping a secret from me the whole time, never letting me know the real Luke. Then again, I was keeping a secret from him too. In a way, we were both at fault. Still, his lie was worse. Wasn't it? My cell phone rings beside me, and I know that it's him. Even though the number isn't stored in my phone, I considered ignoring the call, but can't help but answer. "Hello," I say quietly. "Hi," a smooth voice breathes into the phone, sending chills down my spine. Why did he lie? If I wasn't mad at him, I could be staring into his blue eyes right now. "Hi," I say back. "I know you said that you needed time, but I had to call," Luke begins. "You're not exactly giving me space," I say, determined not to be charmed so easily. "Gorgeous or not, he hurt me." "I know," he says softly, sounding helpless. "What can I do?" "You can't do anything," I say firmly. "I said I needed space to figure this out, and if you really care about me, you'll respect that." I wince and think he might have too, although I can't be sure. He's silent for a few seconds. "Okay, London," he says, finally, with a sadness that breaks my heart a little. "I'll leave you alone." Instead of telling him never mind like I desperately want to, I simply say, "Thank you, Luke," and disconnect before I make any promises I might not be able to keep. Leaning against my bed with a gutted hatbox before me and chronicles of our relationship littering the floor, I can't help but cry. I don't want to be sensible. I don't want to think about things. I don't want to have to forgive him. I don't want him to have lied in the first place. I shove the debris off my legs and climb up onto my bed, lying face down and sobbing to my pillow for who knows how long. I don't hear her come in my room, but my mom appears, smoothing my hair and patting my back and telling me it will all be okay. No, it won't, I think to myself. It won't be okay at all. Chapter 29. Life blindsides me this morning. It's barely past 7 o'clock on a Wednesday and already I'm tired. It seems everything is wrong, so I focus on something small. Paige Thomas. Yesterday's note says that she served as captain in gym class. When I was the last person on the bench, Paige told Miss Martinez and the class that she'd rather play one person short than have me on her team. Nice. I move on to reading about Luke, but then something in a note from 4 months ago catches my attention. It was around the time Luke moved to town. Bring yoga pants, t-shirt for gym, had to borrow clothes from Paige, Fry. Yesterday, Paige wouldn't have lent me a square of toilet paper, let alone a shirt. I remember her tomorrow, and there's no way she'd lend me anything then either. Curious, I spend the next hour searching through notes for entries about her. And what I realize is this. I saved Paige Thomas. Okay, sure. It wasn't from a 40-story building, sent up in flames or anything. But looking back now, I see clearly there was a time when I remember Brad breaking Paige's heart, demolishing it, actually. But this morning when I think of Paige and Brad, I remember them together until I can't remember them at all. I'll hear it at the senior party that they're going to college together. That's the last they'll be in my life. As far as I can tell from notes, things changed when I lied about Brad not liking girls. Paige was forced to find another way into Brad's arms and seemed to have made all the difference. So yes, I am friendly. Friendless. And yes, I've been wronged by an apparently gorgeous and wonderful guy. I'm living with a mom I can't trust and dreading the worst kind of heartbreak imaginable in the form of a dead child. My life is screwed up, to say the least. But the tiny smidgen of a tidbit of a crumb of a shaving of sunshine on this bleak Wednesday morning is that I saved Paige Thomas from heartbreak. With one simple decision months ago, I changed something for the better. And if I can help her, surely I can help myself. I have the metal door positioned in a way that allows me to keep watch on Jamie Connor's locker across the hall without being obvious about it. I'm staring into the magnetic vanity mirror, waiting. Of course, I look like I'm in love with myself, but no one is paying attention to me anyway. Because I can see what's behind me, I know that the boy I'm assuming is Luke, thanks to the photos in my bedroom this morning, walked by earlier, slowly, hesitantly, like he wanted to stop. But he didn't. He's waiting. That's good. Finally, a familiar blonde haircut catches my eye, and I turn to confirm that Jamie has arrived. She's in two tight faded jeans and a hot pink top that seems innocent enough from the back, but which I know without having to look is low cut at the front. I slam the metal door so that the lock catches securely and ease my way across two lanes of students, eyes on Jamie's back the whole time. Once I reach her, I have to clear my throat before she notices me, standing to her side. Hi, Jay, I say brightly. Hi, she mutters, turning back to her locker. How are you? I ask. Do you care? She says, not turning around. Of course I care, Jamie. You're my best friend. She glances at me, then back to the locker. Am I? She says. Or am I too much of a slut to be your friend anymore? Jamie, that's not fair, I say. Jamie slams her locker door and turns to face me. Her eyes are cold and vacant. No, London. No, it isn't, she says bitterly before walking off towards her first class. My face flushes and I'm so mad that I want to chase after her and shake her and tell her everything I know so that she doesn't. But just then the bell signaling the start of the period rings, and chasing after Jamie might mean detention with her boyfriend. I mean Mr. Rice. So instead, I rush to the library. Miss Mason glares at me for being late, and Luke sits up expectantly when I fall into the chair opposite him. But something about my body language tells them both to back off. I work on Spanish homework the whole period and leave quickly when the bell sounds. I can feel Luke's disappointment and guilt creeps through me until I remember this morning's notes. This is the guy who lied to me for 4 months. 4 months! He deserves a little indecision. He deserves to sweat out a bit. Skipping the trip to my locker, I settle into my Spanish seat and I watch the door. I'm ready to confront Jamie before class, but the seconds tick by and her desk remains empty. The bell rings and there's no Jamie. 10 minutes later, she's still not here. When I've decided that she's ditched class, gone home sick, or left for a doctor's appointment, I face the fact that there will be no confrontation today. Jamie had the last word, and it was a nasty one. My anger subsides because it has to, and it's replaced by sadness. I can't help but feel that my best friend has abandoned me. And I get it, at least a little. I know she's upset. I know she's jealous of Luke. I know she wishes I didn't disapprove of her boyfriend, if you want to call Mr. Rice that. But getting it doesn't make it stop hurting. Forever, I will share my thoughts and feelings with Jamie. Forever, except for right now. And right now, I really needed her. She should be here to exchange notes about whether or not to forgive Luke. She should be here to whisper with me about my dad. She should call me, just by being nearby, about things too awful to know. She should willingly partner with me for stupid pronunciation drills. But I'm alone, not just for pronunciation skills and drills, for everything. Every morning when I wake up and learn this, a fresh wound will open until the day Jamie decides to forgive me. And then we'll be fine again. Because that's how I remember it. So that's where we're going to leave off, and then we are going to start tomorrow on chapter 30, and then it should be about 16 more chapters until we finish the book. So just looking to see if there's anything else that needs to be said before I was going to say hang up, but you can't hang up a podcast. Yes, 16 chapters left, and then the book will have been finished. Once again, thank you everyone so much for listening, and I will see you all tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in to It's Cat's World Official, and I'll see you guys tomorrow. Have a good one.